Mud Podcast presents.
My name's Sheila.
I'm Danny, and we got Doro in the studio over here.
Well,
but what did you do for Easter, Sheila?
Okay, well, what I did for Easter is I went over to, I was at K-Mud here.
Of course.
For a part of the
day. As one does.
And then I went over to my good friend Anita's house, and she had a really lovely meal, and the kit and the eggs were all hidden for the kids, and the
Love
kids
it.
Were going after them.
Oh, so yeah. Cute.
Traditional.
What'd you do, Doro?
Same at Anita's. Hey, Anita, if you're listening to us, thank you so much for organizing Easter for all the kids every year. That's beautiful.
So sweet.
So where does that come from? This thing of looking for eggs. Like, why are we doing this?
It's interesting. Hiding the Easter eggs is a tradition that was rooted in both pagan and Christian beliefs, and it symbolizes new life, rebirth, and the resurrection of Jesus. And in many ancient cultures, eggs were symbolic of fertility and new beginnings, and this symbolism resonated with early Christians who saw Jesus' resurrection as a rebirth. The act of hiding these eggs and then finding them invokes the joy of discovery and the symbolism of Jesus' emergence from the tomb.
That's right, everyone. So if you haven't guessed our topic of the show yet, it is eggs. And thanks to Wild Ginger, who actually gave us the idea behind this. Yes.
I mean, it's totally...
It was good time. We were going to do something else. We were like, no, it's eggs.
Yeah.
It has to be eggs.
It's even amazing we haven't done eggs yet in those last 3 years.
It's a big food group. It's a huge thing.
Yeah. It's really big. So big so that the average American eats approximately 288 eggs a year at roughly 70 calories each, with 6 grams of proteins, important vitamins and minerals, and no sugar. An egg is a nutritional powerhouse. But we'll get to this later.
Eggs are eaten not just scrambled or over easy for breakfast, but they're used by food companies as binders, emulsifiers, leavening agents, thickeners, and more. And therefore, they're a key ingredient in many processed foods, from baked goods to dressings.
In the U.S., egg production totaled $93 billion in 2024, produced by 311 million commercial laying hens at the end of 2024.
That's too many hens.
Oh my gosh.
That's about a hen for every American in America. That's too much. And if that's the fact that I want my own, you know, like I want to take care of it and I want to have my own chicken, I get to like
that would be great.
We all get our own one chicken to take care of, you know?
Yeah. That kind of makes sense. I mean, the amount of eggs they produce by the amount of eggs that we eat is kind of the same. So one chicken per person is kind
just
of perfect.
Enough.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. On average, each laying hen produces 301 eggs per year, which is about what I eat. But, weird fact. This number is rising year after year. The United Egg Producer website tells us that 20 years ago, one hen was making 266 eggs a year. And since then, they've been producing just a little bit more every year, until 301 last year.
That's interesting. I wonder why that is.
Well, they say that the increased productivity of hens is due to improved health and disease prevention, nutrition, genetics, and then overall the flock management.
On the other side, apparently wild hens, they produce 12 to 15 eggs in a year. So why such a big difference?
That is pretty crazy to me. And yeah, I guess it's the desire to maximize revenue combined with decades of selective breeding for the most productive chickens that's led to each farm and each chicken creating staggering number of eggs. But yeah, it does seem like it's the genetics, right? Mostly because that is an insane increase of production for any species.
And have in mind also that hens begin laying at around 6 months of age, and they can continue for 5 to 10 years, with peak production occurring in the first 2 years. The egg production industry then, obviously, they only keep the hens until their second birthday to optimize production.
Okay, sure, but that's still a huge difference. You're talking genetics and everything. But between 15 eggs a year in a natural state and 300 in a high-producing state, I still don't get it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they also feed them stuff that will make them produce the most possible.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Choose to breed. They choose the breeds that are the most productive, and they give them 15 hours of light a day all year long so that they can produce even in the winter.
Yeah, which definitely doesn't seem very natural to me. And let's just say that these animals are far from being, you know, what they were in the wild.
Yeah, so basically we kind of invented a new animal. It's not really a hen anymore. It's like it's like a new animal that's just
the
making
egg producing
animal.
Unit. Yeah. Ooh, that's a bad ring to it.
Yeah, it's striking. I've never thought about it before.
No, I hadn't either.
If in the wild they produce 15 eggs, I don't know, like, am I exaggerating feeling that okay, one woman produced like three
babies. No, you're not, because we're
life.
Women and we think about it like that, and it's
so that would be like making a woman produce 50 babies in a life, let's say.
Yeah.
Would it be kind of the same?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel it.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good.
Right.
Even though I have chicken and I love my chicken and their eggs, but
and you want them to lay more. You're upset when they're not laying for you, and you're like, the 3 months they're not laying. Them, so.
But you're also providing like the best possible life you can for your chickens.
That's
compared
true.
To some of the circumstances these hens are living through.
Right.
Yeah, my hens are not very stressed out, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And they pretty much live in the wild.
Totally.
You know, they get to explore and roam around and live.
All right.
So not all eggs are created equal. The eggs in packaged cinnamon buns and fast food breakfast sandwiches come from the hens that are stacked together in tiny cages or in cramped barns.
Okay, got to tell you a story, guys.
Love it. Story time.
Okay. When I was in junior high, one of my best friends had parents who owned an egg company, an egg factory. Not a little quaint little farm, that the one you might have in your mind, like the one I have now. No. An industrial operation, humming and clucking 24/7. So one night during a sleepover, four of us, wide-eyed, giggly 14 years old girls, like very giggly. I was so giggly.
I remember that time. Everything was so funny.
So exactly that time when you giggle all the time, right? Imagine that. And so we decided to go sneak in the egg factory. It felt like an adventure at first, you know, sleeping out in the dark. But as soon as we stepped inside, we were swallowed into an overwhelming chorus of thousands of chickens squawking and rustling in their cages. The racks stretched up high, towering above our heads like some kind of bizarre feathery skyscraper.
Oh my,
oh my goodness, scary.
There was dim bulbs hung low between the rows, casting swinging shadows that made everything feel warped and surreal. We wandered through the maze, nervously laughing and shouting and screaming. We were totally creeped out.
Yeah, I would be. That sounds frightening.
Yeah, that scene, you know, that sound, that tension, that has become my own personal version of a nightmare.
I bet it has.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
For those hens, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's a nightmare for you and the hens. It's not great.
Yep. But in fact, most eggs sold in supermarkets, they come from exactly that environment. Mm. No matter how idyllic the farm scene is on the carton, that's where they come from. Okay. Let's talk about price of eggs. Do you remember that until February 2022, a dozen of eggs was below $2. Do you remember that?
Seems like forever ago. I can barely remember.
But for more than 3 years, farmers have battled a fatal strain of bird flu that continues to disrupt the U.S. egg supply. Most recently, continual large-scale outbreaks of the virus across multiple states took a massive toll on the U.S. flock of egg-laying hens.
And when farmers find just like a single case of bird flu, their current federal policy requires that they kill the entire flock. So in 2022, farmers have killed more than 120 million egg-laying hens.
Yeah.
And the loss of supply naturally drives up the prices for the eggs.
So far in 2025, nearly 31 million egg-laying hens have been affected by H5N1. and another 2.5 million pullets, the young hens, have been killed. And for comparison, so like roughly 38 million egg layers were impacted in all of 2024. And so that means in the last 4 months that we have killed nearly as many hens than is in all of 2024.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah, so altogether the egg laying population continues to decline.
And the decline in the egg laying hen population contributed to an almost 12% decline in egg production in February compared with the previous month.
Oof. Yeah. So the average cost of a dozen grade A large eggs in March was $6.23. That is setting a new record for the third straight month. And so the egg prices in the last year, they has risen roughly 60%.
So why has the price of conventional industrial scale caged bird eggs increased much more than the price of cage-free eggs?
One factor is that cramming thousands and in some cases millions of chickens into confined indoor spaces creates the perfect breeding grounds for spreading and evolving zoonotic disease. So it should be no surprise that the biggest bird flu losses have been concentrated among a few massive farms with more than a million birds each.
A million.
Still.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. By comparison, most cage-free or pasture-based egg farms have fewer birds per farm. And so when an outbreak occurs, fewer hens must be preventively destroyed. Less concentrated production means less concentrated risk.
But there might also be some more dodgy aspects to the situation.
On this show, at least.
Yeah. So the Department of Justice has launched an investigation into large egg producers' pricing practices. The Wall Street Journal reported this on March 7th. The DOJ will be looking into whether these producers conspired to set high prices or limit the supply of eggs. And the fact that egg companies have reaped record profits following disruptions like bird flu and the COVID-19 pandemic.
Isn't that so? That's always the same story, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, ah.
Oh.
And before launching a DOJ investigation into egg pricing practices, the Trump administration said in February it would spend $1 billion to combat bird flu and ultimately bring down prices. And there were three elements to that plan. One, to increase egg imports from Turkey, Brazil, and South Korea. Two, to improve safety measures at egg laying facilities across the country. And three, to research a vaccine and cut regulations.
Well, first, isn't that crazy that Trump would decide to spend $1 billion to help the egg farmers when he's deciding to cut so many other things for the people?
It's priorities, man.
Yeah, we just said that the egg companies have been making big profits. They don't need help by the government. Right. But there's another thing is that so he wants to import more eggs from Turkey, Brazil, and South Korea, but at the same time putting those new tariffs that are impacting the import. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. Another thing, he wants to improve the safety measures in the facilities. Yeah, but at the same time, the EPA is promised to be deregulated, so they won't be able to improve the egg factory safety. And the other thing about putting money into research for a vaccine, well, from what we are hearing, scientific research is being defunded. So
yeah. It's like really ridiculous when you think about it. The Trump administration came in with all these bold ideas about deregulation and cutting red tape. But now, faced with a real-life epidemic threatening supply chains, they're suddenly realizing that things like regulations and safety standards and fair trade practices might not be such a bad idea after all. It turns out those burdensome rules might actually be what keeps the whole system from collapsing.
Yeah, and in the past, if you went down to your farmer's market and bought eggs laid by a local free-range hen living under humane conditions, you had to pay a pretty big premium. But now if you go to Walmart or a Kroger and buy conventional eggs produced by caged hens on supposedly super efficient industrial-scale farms, you're likely to pay just as much or even more.
Yeah, so let's talk more about the price of eggs because, okay, first of all, Kate sent me a text to say, Eggs haven't been $2 in California for way longer.
That's what I was going to say.
I have no memory of that.
But when I brought that up, they were like, you probably aren't buying the cheap eggs that are $2, and which is true.
It is true, yeah.
So I didn't want to combat it.
And maybe that was a number. Okay, that's the good moment to remind everybody that we are not journalists. We are just your neighbors who
have computers.
We're diving deep into a subject, but we are not experts.
Yeah. And so we are finding articles, and then we are kind of repeating what the real journalists have written in their article. That's all we are doing. We are not investigative journalists, even though in some aspect we would love to, but we are not.
It's fun to pretend for an hour on Thursdays.
Yeah. Appreciation for all those who are.
Yeah.
And so I'm supposing that this $2 price must have been for national, because I wouldn't be surprised that in Ohio,
right. Oh yeah, definitely, you'd have $2. I could see that. And it's for the conventional eggs too, yes. Like these standard, like, you know, big farm eggs.
Yeah, totally.
But talking about California, so okay, Pele, my friend Pele, who was in LA 2 weeks ago, saw a dozen of eggs at $20.
Wow.
Yeah, that.
And so I asked my friend Katie, who's down there, like, could you, like, look at the prices of eggs? Is that for real that they are at $20? So she looked just 2-3 days ago and sent me photos and everything. She did an investigation.
Oh,
for real.
Oh, thank you.
She went to 3 different stores and didn't find any at $20. But everything was between $6 and $13, depending on the quality. And so the cheapest now is at $6. That's far from two, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. But that seems like the same than here, right?
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been my experience. I was at Trader Joe's the other day.
Oh.
And I think their cheapest egg, and this had one carton per customer.
Oh, what did they?
But they were like $5.99. For organic eggs, I believe.
Oh, and so I read somewhere that Trader Joe has a special policy with eggs. They do sell their eggs with no benefits on it, so because they know it's something that attracts people in. So it's a policy they have to have cheap eggs, whatever happens, so that people come in for the eggs, and then obviously you're gonna get the shortbread and everything else.
Other stuff, right? It all looks so good. But yeah, wow.
Yeah, so in conclusion, whether intentional conspiracy or uncoordinated collective greed, pricing mechanism for caged bird eggs are clearly broken. It's hurting the consumers and especially, obviously, the low-income families.
Yeah, and that's, you know, is what we care about here because, as we will see in a minute, eggs, you know, are a great food. They're whole, they're simple, easy to cook. You know, cheap, maybe rich.
Compared to meat.
Oh, yeah. And what you're getting nutritionally in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not rich. And now it is being compromised because of the greed of these big corporations. You know, surprise, surprise. You can't make this stuff up.
The top 5 egg-producing states include Iowa, Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and Texas. As animal agriculture goes, the egg industry is less concentrated than most. And in 2017, the top 5 egg producers control the output of 36% of hens.
By comparison, in the beef industry, the top 4 companies control 85% of the market.
Still, 95% of all layers are grown in companies with, okay, be ready, how many hens in one of the...
Requiring that certain animals be allowed to lie down, stand up, fully extend their limbs, and turn around freely. I mean, imagine that this is like...
Well, animal rights and activism right there.
Right. Wow. Discussion about this proposition put battery cages into the news. So it really brought awareness around the conditions.
Yeah. And after the law went into effect in 2015, McDonald's announced a pledge to use 100% cage-free eggs by 2025. This is now. And many other companies quickly followed, sparking a major shift to new cageless barns with various designs.
Yeah, and we did look into this to see if McDonald's did hold up that they would do this by 2025, and they have. So there's that.
There's one good thing to hold up.
But, I mean, they followed through.
But so clearly the egg situation in California is very, very different than elsewhere.
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We are lucky to be in California.
Always grateful to be in California.
At least about eggs.
Yeah. And many other reasons.
And many other things, actually. Yeah.
So the percentage of hens that are housed cage-free jumped from 4% in 2014 to 28% in 2020, marking a dramatic change in the industry, largely sparked by California's changes.
Right. So. Yeah. Hey, another thing I've been wondering since I've been in the U.S. is why eggs are sold in the fridge here and not in Europe. Let's talk about salmonella.
All right. So eggshells are porous, and a natural protein coating on the shell called the cuticle or the bloom reduces moisture loss and prevents bacteria from getting through the shell. Washing eggs removes this protective coating. And in the U.S., the FDA regulations require eggs to be washed, sanitized, and thoroughly dried before sale.
In the U.S., we began washing and cooling our eggs in part due to fear of salmonella bacteria.
Yeah, salmonella bacteria is estimated to sicken 1.2 million people annually in the U.S. And according to the FDA, how many of those come from egg salmonella? 79,000 people. That's a lot. And 30 of them die every year.
Wow. In Britain and other European countries, egg-laying hens are vaccinated against salmonella. In the U.S., the FDA considered mandatory salmonella vaccination in 2010, but they chose not to require it, citing inconclusive evidence that it is effective. Proponents of vaccination argue that the agency was looking at outdated data and point to the elimination of the bacteria in countries that do it.
Yeah, so in these countries, eggs are stored below 65 degrees Fahrenheit. In the U.S., eggs are stored below 45 degrees to prevent growth of the bacteria either in or outside of the egg.
So while both in Europe and in the States, there is egg-borne salmonella, the U.S. has a greater emphasis on post-production control through washing and refrigeration, while in Europe, they prioritize the pre-production control with the vaccination of the chicken. That's interesting, right? It's like two totally different ways to try to get to the same results.
Yeah.
I didn't manage to find like if there is more salmonella in Europe or here. It seemed like the numbers were about equal, mm-hmm. but it was hard to compare, so I don't know.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, thanks for looking.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support People Powered Radio at kmud.org.
All right. So, so we're going to check out how egg production damages the environment.
All right. So in comparison to industrial production of beef or even broiler chicken, eggs have a smaller footprint, but they are still significant problems with large-scale egg facilities, including environmental pollution, poor worker conditions, and health consequences for the surrounding community.
Yeah, one problem is the chicken poop. Mm. It can be a rich source of soil nutrients when it's applied in appropriate amounts. The manure returns some nitrogen and some phosphorus to the soil, but when it's in those big companies that they are, you know, they're called concentrated animal feeding operation, CAFOs, C-A-F-Os. So those egg facilities, they produce more manure than the surrounding land can typically absorb, which can contaminate drinking water and cause algae bloom and die-off of aquatic species.
Wow. Bacteria and other pathogens in these CAFOs, these feeding operations, the dust can cause health problems too. And
in the smell, imagine it's like I just know the smell so bad after cleaning a coop of like 10 chickens.
Yeah.
And having to wear a rag over my face, still feeling the burning in my nostrils of the ammonia. Like, I cannot imagine the smell coming from a facility with 75,000 chickens in there. That is insane. But these noxious gases are blown out of the hen house with industrial fans, along with litter dust and dried fecal matter, which may contain salmonella or other harmful bacteria. And this is all increasing the risk of infection.
Yeah, so people who live near an egg facility, they can develop respiratory health problems. And also think about the property value around one of those egg factories. The odors are so terrible. And also, obviously, it attracts flies, rodents, and pests. So the price of your house may just be way lower than it was before they arrived in your neighborhood.
Nice. Yeah, nice. And it's also like it's just to consider the health impacts it's having on the neighbors,
right?
The
right.
workers, yeah. the hens themselves.
The hens, yeah.
It's just, you
creating
know,
an unhealthy environment yeah. around the whole entire operation.
Not good. So next time you want to buy a box of cheap eggs, think about the workers and the neighbors and those industries like we're saying, and maybe spend a few more dollars to just avoid supporting these kinds of places altogether. Yeah. Don't put yeah. your money into that. If you, the choice is yours.
Nice. But now you know better. So what about the water? Okay, so they have two ways to treat the manure of laying hens. In many egg barns, it is dried with fans before it is spread on fields or sold as fertilizer, which somewhat reduces the potential for water pollution.
Yeah, in other facilities, however, it is flushed with water and stored in ponds before it is spread on fields. The added water makes it even more likely to run off and become a pollutant.
The notion that happy hens can be raised only on small farms is also getting upended, as pasture-raised methods are more labor-intensive and difficult to scale. New egg companies are demonstrating that thousands of laying hens can be raised on pasture and that millions of eggs can be sold with methods like rotating the hens on selections of a pasture around a stationary barn.
In Europe and Australia, which have higher animal welfare standards than in the U.S., some farms are adopting techniques based on the idea that shaping the environment to the hen instead of vice versa can actually increase productivity. So, for example, chickens tend to be nervous to explore an open field, and they will stay in the barn even if there is an outdoor space available to them. But they are more likely to go out if there are trees and other cover crops for them.
Yeah, I think we all heard that even the ones where they say cage-free, that doesn't mean like free-free. That just right. means they're in a facility
in a
with no cage.
Yeah, and free-range too.
And,
yeah.
and free-range, mm-hmm. that means that they have a door open to the exterior, but they
doesn't
may not go
yeah.
because
yeah.
they're afraid because there's just an open field. And so a farm with hens in trees... That seems a little bit like fancy in the U.S.
But tree hens. Yeah, they're expensive. Yeah, like, right?
But in the U.K., McDonald's, once again, we talk about McDonald's in a positive way twice in this show. What is happening?
Wow, the world is being upended. It's truly...
So, yeah, McDonald's Egg McMuffin, they are made with eggs from tree range hens.
Wow. Like, I need one more excuse to have a guilty pleasure to go eat that garbage. Okay. But the article about that says, when laying hens in free range systems are provided with trees, they range more. We found that being out more and venturing further afield means that the laying hens don't peck at each other as much, which in turn improves their welfare of the flock, reduces mortality, improves production and eggshell quality.
Yeah, and then the trees, incidentally, they also boost the soil and the wider environment through reduced nutrient leaching and carbon sequestration, as well as providing opportunities for multiple incomes off the land through agroforestry or combining egg production with growing, nut trees or fruit trees and having orchards.
Nice. Yeah, so now let's talk about the benefits of having chickens at home among trees.
One of the most well-known benefits of raising backyard chickens is, of course, the eggs. And harvesting your own farm fresh eggs is very rewarding. And the eggs are regarded as better than anything you can find at the grocery store.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about excessive shelf life or what happens to the eggs during processing or shipping. You know exactly how the chickens live, how they've been treated, what they eat, which means you don't have to worry about unethical farm practices or unhealthy additives.
Yeah, and fresh eggs are also richer in color and in flavor. Mm-hmm. They contain fewer saturated fat and fewer bad cholesterol compared to the store-bought eggs.
You could see the difference.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, the rich darkness of yeah. the orange egg yolk is, God, beautiful way to start the day. And one of my favorite things about farming your own eggs is that if you keep them unwashed, you can keep them out of the fridge.
Yep.
And this is due to that bloom coating that we mentioned earlier.
However, free-range eggs aren't the only product you can get when you raise chickens in your backyard. Some people also raise chickens for their meat. Like eggs, meat from your backyard chickens is safer and healthier than what you'll find at the store.
Yeah, and chickens are nature's pest control expert.
Yes.
You know, they're like their curious exploration in the yard all day long. They're like devouring the pest, such as grasshoppers, snails, and other small creatures, and my cabbage and salad as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes with the snail.
Right.
So this extends to mosquitoes, ticks.
Termites. I remember when the termites would just be like taking off from the ground, all the hens would just gather around.
Oh my gosh.
And, oh wow.
Yeah. That's great.
Yep.
That's great. What a feast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks to the chicken, your garden is made maybe a little more enjoyable and safer, especially during the warmer months, right?
Yeah, their benefits extend beyond pest control. They're also great assistants, and they control weed growth in and around your garden. As your flock ventures through their territory, their natural scratching and pecking behaviors dig up and disperse weed seeds.
Mm.
Yeah, then they consume these seeds and use them as a delicious snack and a beneficial helper for your garden. And this ensures your favored fruits and vegetables have a flourishing environment for growth.
Yeah, it sounds like having chickens roaming in your backyard delivers a winning combination of efficient pest control, weed management, some light landscaping, all contributing to a thriving, healthy garden environment.
Nice. Another plus to having your own chicken is that they contribute to a reduction in the exploitation of resources needed for commercial eggs production. Yeah, like we were saying, industrial scale farms often rely heavily on electricity for lighting and for the temperature control, the water for sanitation, and the feed, which often comes from really far away and has its own environmental impact.
Mm-hmm.
So by contrast, backyard chickens, who eat mainly your backyard stuff and your
food scraps,
oh, yeah.
They require less inputs.
Yeah, and they're your friends.
Yeah,
and follow you around.
Great entertainment, which was actually a main thing that came up in like the research I was doing. It was like a huge part of it was like, and they're so great too, just to look at, right?
Yeah,
like
up the joy factor.
The environment
of your homestead,
that they make, they're really silly.
And each one of them has a personality.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah,
yeah. We have a black and white one at the moment. She's terrible. She comes to the door of our house and wants to come in and then take a poop on the carpet.
Oh, perfect.
And she goes to our big dog. Bruno is the biggest dog you guys have ever seen in your life.
He is.
He's got a bone
massive
that he's eating on the deck. This hen, she comes and pick on his bone.
Oh, yeah. Fearless.
Gosh.
It's like, how would you do that? Why are you not afraid of Bruno? So then that's funny because Bruno runs after her and she flies away flapping and... You think she would learn? She never learns.
It's their little flirtatious back and forth. She probably wants some attention from Bruno or whatever it is.
Yeah, and so all the others don't do that at all. She's the only one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All unique.
Yeah. And by opting for backyard chickens, you contribute to a more environmentally friendly food system by reducing carbon footprints associated with transportation, decreasing the use of resources required for commercial egg production, and promoting a more localized and self-sufficient environment.
Raising chickens offers a multitude of benefits, one of which is the invaluable byproduct they yield, their manure.
Yes.
It's known for its nutrient-rich composition. Chicken manure stands as a potent source of organic fertilizer. It's packed with vital elements such as nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and it plays a significant role in fostering robust plant growth.
Yeah, and chicken manure in particular is very high in nitrogen compared to other animal manures. To illustrate the difference in nutrient content, a study conducted by Iowa State University compared solid dairy cow manure to chicken manure pellets. The results are striking. While cow manure offered approximately 20 pounds of nitrogen per ton, chicken manure pellets contained a remarkable 88 pounds of nitrogen per ton. This substantial difference highlights the nutrient-rich nature of chicken manure and its potential to enhance crop yields. But yeah, to be clear, chicken manure is aged chicken poop, and manure in general is aged fertilizer. So just to be making that clear, I didn't really understand the distinction about that. Manure has to be aged. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to talk here about our late Jean, who was our neighbor. She was telling me, and I'm sure to everybody who would want to hear her, that the most valuable thing you have on your homestead is your chicken poop.
Yeah. And she really used that chicken poop all over. And I mean, her garden was the proof in the pudding, you know. It was like you could see it was really creating an abundant environment for those plants.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Jean Heritage.
We love you, Jean.
Heritage of Jean Heritage.
Yeah.
Love your chicken poop.
Yeah, very wise woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So chicken manure can significantly enhance soil fertility when processed correctly through composting or applied directly. It does this by incrementally elevating nutrient content, which enriches the soil and promotes your plant's overall health and vitality. Over time, this leads to thriving, vibrant plant life that contributes to an eco-friendly garden.
Yeah, and like Jean says, using chicken manure as an organic fertilizer is a sustainable method to feed your soil. This approach not only replenishes necessary nutrients in your garden, but also decreases dependence on synthetic fertilizers.
And the store-bought fertilizers, while effective, can sometimes lead to long-term detrimental effects on the soil's natural balance. As such, choosing chicken manure stands as an environmentally responsible, cost-effective choice for maintaining your the garden's productivity.
All right, so in conclusion, the presence of backyard chicken in a garden can significantly enhance its productivity and health. Their poop adds nitrogen to the soil, and their little feet scratch and till the soil to increase its fertility. And they are a great garbage disposal and a great friend.
Yeah, and wow, what a great crossover, huh? Garbage disposal friend.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support People Powered Radio at kmud.org.
So maybe you are one of those wokes who try to buy organic eggs. So let's start with a little definition to make sure we are all talking about the same things.
Organic eggs require hens to be free-range, fed a certified organic diet, and raised without antibiotics or hormones, while free-range eggs simply require outdoor access for the hens. They don't necessarily adhere to organic feed or treatment standards for the hens.
Eggs are one of the most nutritious foods you can find. The nutritional content varies depending on how the hens are raised and what they were fed.
Conventional eggs are your standard supermarket eggs. The hens that lay these eggs are usually fed grain, supplemented with vitamins and minerals. Organic eggs were not treated with hormones and received organic feed. Pastured eggs are allowed to roam free. They eat plants and insects, you know, their natural foods, along with some commercial feed if needed. There's also omega-3 enriched eggs. They're conventional chickens, except that their feed is supplemented with an omega-3 source like flax seeds, and they may have some access to the outside.
Yeah, while reading labels know that free range means that the hens have the option to go outside, cage free simply means that they aren't raised in a cage. They could still be raised in a smelly, dirty, overstuffed hen house. Cage-free is not pasture-raised, to be clear.
Yeah, and be aware that the term natural is always thrown around. It's not regulated in the U.S. because it cannot be defined. And the eggs often, like manufacturers will label, like naturally raised or all natural. And this is no different than any other conventional egg.
It's that greenwashing. Just got to know where to find it. Mm-hmm. Eggs that are certified as organic in the U.S. have come from chickens given only organic and non-GMO feed. They must also have year-round access to the outdoors.
Yeah, a 2010 study found that pasture-raised hens have been found to produce eggs that have a higher level of omega-3 fats and vitamin E and A. Omega-3 fatty acids are definitely lacking in the average American diet, and studies suggest consuming eggs from pasture-raised hens specifically can help lower blood triglycerides.
And eggs are one of the most nutrient-dense foods available. All right, so one egg provides, are you ready, 13 essential nutrients. They are all in the yolk. Contrary to popular belief, the yolk is far higher in nutrients than the white.
Yes.
What else?
A single large boiled egg contains 14% of vitamin B5 in our daily value, 23% of B12's daily value, riboflavin, vitamin B2, 20% of the daily value, phosphorus, 7%, selenium, 28%. Eggs also contain vitamin D, A, folate, vitamin E, B6, calcium, zinc, magnesium.
Wow.
The list is long.
Yeah, and eggs are an excellent source of B vitamins, which are needed for vital functions in the body, essential for normal growth and development.
And the vitamin E in eggs protects against heart disease and some cancer. Eggs also contains vitamin D, which promotes mineral absorption and good bone health.
Eggs are also rich in iodine, making thyroid hormones, and phosphorus, essential for healthy bones and teeth.
Eggs are also a good source of antioxidants known to protect the eye, increase plasma concentrations of lutein and zeaxanthin, which are powerful antioxidants, accumulate in the retina of the eye.
Yeah, there was a study in 2022, very recently, that suggests that consuming adequate amount of these nutrients, the lutein and zeaxanthin, that can significantly reduce the risk of cataract and macular degeneration, which are two very common eye disorders.
Yeah, they're a good dietary source also of choline, which is used to build cell membranes and has various other functions, including producing signaling molecules in our brains. Whole eggs have about 147 milligrams of choline in each.
And so eggs are considered a complete protein source containing all 9 essential amino acids. You know, the body needs 20 different amino acids. They are the building block of protein. But our own body makes only 11. So the other 9, we need to get them from food. Protein serves, we use the proteins for bones, for muscles, cartilage, skins, blood, basically our structure, right? Our the thing that we're made of, the matter. And so the protein content in eggs is divided equally between the egg white and the yolk.
And so, yeah, we also wondered if the different ways of cooking your eggs will give you different nutritional outcomes. And the answer was yes.
Yeah, so shorter cooking times, even at high temperatures, have been shown to retain more nutrients. Research has shown that when eggs are baked for 40 minutes, they may lose up to 61% of vitamin D, compared to up to 18% when they were fried or boiled for a shorter period of time.
Yeah, that's kind of logical, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like with your veggies or whatever. If you cook it too long, it's going to lose some of its value.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because my parents used to just buy the egg whites and cook them for like a long time in the oven as like an egg bake or something. But it's, you know, it was such a fad. It felt like that jar of egg whites that they got at the health food store that was ridiculously expensive.
Oh,
and
really?
It was like... That was how they ate eggs. It was like the yolk had too high cholesterol and too much, you know.
Wow. And they were cooking the white, but that like it's like not even really good anymore if it's just the white.
Yeah. My childhood right there for you folks.
Yeah. So, Dr. Sheila, you're not a doctor. We're not supposed to say that. Are you a doctor officially?
I am a licensed acupuncturist.
All right.
Anyhow, yeah, go.
What's the thing with the cholesterol in eggs?
I go like, tell so us. There's so much varying and differing opinions on the subject as diving into this, because for so long, eggs were definitely like painted to be like the culprit behind all high cholesterol and to stay away from it. But now there's newer research sharing that eggs can actually be beneficial in raising HDL good cholesterol. And so in this deep dive, it was like, you know, I turned to Michael Pollan to see kind of what he thought, what we did. But there are so many opinions. And, you know, you really should do your own research. And depending on your genetic makeup and like your cholesterol.
It's not a one size fits all situation.
And I think everything in moderation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I totally honor, you know, all vegans too, who find their other sources and don't want to consume any animal product too. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to find what works for you.
Right. Yes.
But let's see what Michael Pollan says.
He said
the cholesterol in eggs does not significantly affect blood cholesterol in most healthy individuals. Eggs can actually improve overall cholesterol profile by increasing the HDL, which is the good cholesterol, and improving insulin sensitivity.
Yeah, there was also a recent review of scientific literature published in Clinical Nutrition and Metabolic Care, clearly indicating that egg consumption has no discernible impact on blood cholesterol levels in 70% of the population. But in the other 30% of the population, they're termed hyper responders. And eggs do increase both circulating LDL and HDL cholesterol.
Yeah, just wanted to add to what you were saying that even the Mayo Clinic states, yeah, do we all consider that Mayo Clinic for what is conventional?
It's a baseline of some right. standard mm-hmm. understanding about it.
For conventional medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And even they say now that although eggs are high in cholesterol, the effect of egg consumption on blood cholesterol is minimal when compared with the effect of trans fats and saturated fats. You know what? I'm just glad because my favorite eggs are the over easy, and so they don't cook very long, so I'm having more nutrients. Love it. All right. We got a caller. Hello, caller.
Comment on the free range. I was caught by what you said about they're eating the termites and the ants and the grasshoppers, and then they put on the package vegetarian, you know, and I'm thinking,
oh yeah, totally
interesting, yeah.
that's all I just wanted to comment
on. No, such a good point.
They're free range. They're not vegetarian. They're eating bugs.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Wait, who says they're saying that the chicken are vegetarian?
Like given a vegetarian diet, that's something that they promote.
They'll put it on the packaging.
Right. Well, if they're doing a vegetarian diet, then they can't be free range.
That's funny. I guess what they mean is that at least they're not eating like leftover of meat industry
in
their pellets.
Biotics and stuff.
I guess.
It's like
but
the
that's
vegan
funny.
Food grown with organic manures and things like that. It all just kind of is already connected.
I've definitely seen my hens like run after dog food that's been left there though. Oh, so yeah, oh, they're right. after. They're
all
out
yeah, they'll eat it. It's there.
Okay, well, that's what I've got to say. Thanks for
Love
the show.
It. Thank
you.
Thank you.
And I think we have another caller.
Hey, great show. Really enjoyed listening to it. I was just, you got me thinking about the, like, the ethics of my eggs. And, like, I've been buying the local, like, small farm-raised mm-hmm. eggs for myself for a while now, but I buy my dog the like cheap ones just thinking like, oh, not that I don't think that she deserves nice eggs, but just thinking
but she's
like,
not working. So yeah.
Yeah. Budget friendly. And yeah, I can save the good ones for me.
Right.
But, yeah. It just has me thinking about that more like, yes, that's probably fine, but I am also supporting that. It's just one more way that, you know, supporting like the big,
right.
Totally.
Bad production that I don't like. So it just got me thinking about it.
Love it.
Nice
love it,
reflection.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
And there's no right or wrong about it. We all have to make, you know, the choices that we have to. But
yeah.
It's nice to just be informed and
yeah,
have
inform
some more
ourselves.
Awareness about it.
I think it's a good reminder of why we're doing that show. I mean, obviously, we don't expect you guys to remember every data we gave you in that show. We don't even remember all of it afterward. It's just that. To just have in mind that everything we buy, every decision we make as a buyer has consequences on the environment, on the animals, on our own health, on the planet, on the workers, on
right.
the neighbors of the factories, whatever. It has consequences. Depending on the choices we make, we shape the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all we want you to remember. Have this little thought like this caller just have and look differently at the products you buy in the supermarket mm-hmm. next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Thanks for that share.
This has been a KMUT podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.